Well, hello and welcome to listeners on WSCS, WMNB, and WLSL. This is DJ Frederick, and you've stumbled into the Radio Thrift Shop. The Radio Thrift Shop is a work in progress. On any given week, you might hear folk, jazz, easy listening, indie music, forgotten 45s, and forays deep into the archives. So light up the lava lamp and come on a musical journey deep into the world of 78s, 33s, 45s, 8-track tapes, and cassettes. The Thrift Shop is open for musical exploration.
On a D-minor band, on a D-minor band. happening, sympathy and trust abounding. Number forces or derisions, golden living dreams of vision, mystic crystal revelation, and the mind's true liberation. Aquarius.
Digging deep into the dusty crates on this edition of the Radio Thrift Shop. That was Tracy Jones with her cover version of Aquarius. Before that, the Zimbo Trio from Brazil. They released a couple of 45s on the Pacific Jazz label, and that was from 1966, a tune called Reza. We started off this edition of the Thrift Shop with Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow, in a tune called D Minor Vamp. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You're tuned to the Radio Thrift Shop on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London and online at classicalwscs.org. And this is the Forgotten 45s edition of the Radio Thrift Shop.
Exploring science in the sea. For a lobster, hotter water is a bad thing. So not surprisingly, biologists expect the crustaceans to hop out of a rapidly warming pot of water off the east coast of the United States and Canada. The Gulf of Maine is heating up faster than 99% of the oceans. That's already having some effects on life in the Gulf, and more dramatic effects could be on the way. The Gulf stretches from Cape Cod, Massachusetts to Nova Scotia. It covers about 36,000 square miles. It's fairly shallow, no more than 1,200 feet deep, with half of it less than 500 feet. It consists of three main basins, plus a series of shallow banks. For centuries, the Gulf of Maine has been one of the most productive ocean environments. Today, though, it's facing threats. Runoff from land appears to be slowing the growth of phytoplankton, the tiny plant-like organisms that are a vital link in the marine food chain. Overfishing has been a problem too. Now, though, the biggest threat is rising temperatures. That appears to be causing the cold ocean current that feeds the Gulf of Maine from the north to slow down. That's allowing the warmer Gulf Stream current to become more dominant. The cod population has declined, forcing bans on recreational fishing. There have been fewer fish for puffin chicks to eat, so their survival rate in 2018 was half that of the year before. And a study says the lobster population could decline by a third by 2050 as the crustaceans head north, hopping out of the hot pot of the Gulf of Maine. Science in the Sea is available as a weekly podcast at scienceinthesea.org. I'm Holly Brawley.
This is DJ Frederick. You're tuned to the Forgotten 45 show on the Radio Thrift Shop here on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London and online at classicalwscs.org.
makes me feel glad that I'm not dead. Wichita, town, Gemara, Waranico, Waranico, Hene, Hene, Noa. Wichita, town, Gemara, Waranico, Waranico, Hene, Hene, Noa. Wichita,
Everything is Everything with their cover of Jim Pepper's Witchy Tie Toe. And before that, the Ellis Marsalis Quartet with a tune called Yesterday's Part 1, released on the AFO record label from New Orleans, Louisiana. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop in all of its lo-fi glory. A mix of dusty grooves, easy jazz, and a tinge of psychedelic pop from the 1960s through today. And on occasion I do themed programs, and today we're listening to some dusty 45s, those 7-inch vinyl singles with the big hole or the small hole in the middle. And usually on every Forgotten 45 show, for no apparent reason, I throw in an episode of Laura Erickson's For the Birds. And For the Birds is one of my favorite independently produced mini radio programs. So here she is, Laura Erickson, For the Birds.
Something about the first brilliant blue sky days of January always fills me with delight and hope. The vivid sky on January 6th was especially welcome this year. That was my first morning home from the hospital after another heart attack. I'm doing fine and should be back to my usual routine pretty soon, thanks in part to the Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation, or WARF, which funded and patented the original research on a blood clotting preventive named, naturally, warfarin. Although warfarin was originally used as a rat poison, it turns out to be an excellent blood clotting preventative for people in my situation with an aneurysm on a coronary artery. Russ and I were already in WARF's debt. They provided a research grant when he was working on his PhD. Meanwhile, I'm waiting for my blood levels to stabilize, and I can't take photos with my heavy camera for 4 weeks after my angiogram, so I'm thinking about these bright days of January and sitting tight. Ever since the winter solstice on December 22nd, days have been getting longer, but it's never noticeable at first, because right around both solstices, the day-to-day changes in day length are measured in seconds, not minutes. The sun was setting at 4:20 p.m. here in Duluth from December 5th through the 17th. On the solstice, sunset was at 4:23, 3 minutes later than that. On January 9th, it'll set a quarter hour later than that at 4:39 p.m. To offset that pre-solstice gain in the afternoon due to the sun's angle and rotation, the sun doesn't rise earlier until well after the solstice. On December 22nd, the sun rose at 7:50 a.m., but sunrise continued to get later, not earlier, for several days after that, and was still happening at 7:53 on January 6th. Now, finally, sunrise is arriving earlier in the morning. Today, it'll be at 7:52. Right now, the change in day length from one day to the next is about a minute and a half, but that will be increasing right up through the equinox. February 1st will be 2 minutes and 44 seconds longer than January 31st, and March 1st will be 3 minutes and 18 seconds longer than February 29th. The earliest sunrises of the year will happen before the summer solstice at 5:13 a.m. from June 12th through June 18th. Of course, if there was no such thing as daylight saving time, sunrise then would be at 4:13 a.m., and the latest sunsets will happen well after the summer solstice, with the latest at 9:06 p.m. from June 20th through June 30th. Whatever will happen in June, right now the sun is still not coming up until almost 8 a.m. The little kids waiting at the school bus stop on my corner are still standing out there in the dark. Chickadees don't sing that early, and even crows prefer to sleep in until it's a little lighter. To match the small number of hours in the day right now, birds are also at a minimum in numbers of both species and individuals. My backyard birds are few and far between this year. As of January 8th, I've only seen chickadees, pigeons, crows, and downy woodpeckers in my yard. Of course, I did spend 3 of those days in the hospital, where I added herring gull to my year list, and I'm not up to speed with birding quite yet, but I've had plenty of time to look out the window and wonder where my pileated woodpeckers are, or what happened to the red-bellied woodpecker who was here on December 31st. Other people have been letting me know that their birds are scarcer than usual this year, too, but it's probably not smart of me to brood about that quite yet. Until I'm a little further along on my recovery, I'm spending my time looking at my chickadees and counting minutes, literally, I guess. As our days are finally getting noticeably longer, I'm putting my focus on the lovely times ahead. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.
You're listening to the smooth sounds of the Radio Thrift Shop with DJ Frederick.
The dogs are barking and the days are getting dark.
Called Sound 70 with a cover of Bob Dylan's One Too Many Mornings on the Midji label, M-I-J-J-I, from San Jose, California. That was released back in 1967. And prior to that, we heard Speedometer with Do What You Like, and we started off with David McCallum, produced by David Axelrod, and House of Mirrors from Capitol Records, 1967. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Forgotten 45 show on the Radio Thrift Shop. We're moving toward 500 episodes of the Radio Thrift Shop, which began on WSCS back in 2011, and I've been on WSCS all total now for 21 years, and I started off in broadcasting back in 1975 at WUNH in Durham, New Hampshire, which was still on the airwaves at 91.3 FM. Now, coming up later in 2020, I have a new program called Gentle on My Mind, an easy listening experience, so please stay tuned for that. Joy by Apollo 100 from 1972. Well, if you're just tuning in and wondering what the heck you're listening to, I'm DJ Frederick. This is the Radio Thrift Shop, where we do low-tech, old-school DJing like the overnight shift guy from the public radio station back in the 1970s. It's homegrown and homemade radio with no genre, no agenda, just a musical journey deep into the world of 78s, 33s, 8-tracks, and cassette tapes. And today, we're visiting Forgotten 45s, those 7-inch vinyl singles that you might still find around in your grandparents' attic or in the dusty bins of the local record shop. I'll be spinning more 45s right after this.
This is bird night. Large migrant flocks of snow geese descend on the lower 48 states in October and November, returning from their summer breeding grounds in the Arctic. The geese are an entrancing natural spectacle in sparkling white, but there is a problem. Conservation usually means protecting declining species and critical habitats. But what happens when a species population swells beyond the capacity of its habitat? How should we handle it? Too much of a good thing. That's the snow goose conundrum. Snow geese numbers have ballooned from fewer than a million in the 1960s to perhaps 15 million today. The geese overwhelm the Arctic tundra where they nest, degrading breeding areas they share with nesting sandpipers and other birds. Until the 1960s, the geese wintered in salt marshes and prairies. But with the rise of large-scale agriculture, the geese have learned to take advantage of the bonanza of waste grain left scattered after the harvest. Now, many more snow geese survive the winter, and their numbers have soared. It's a tricky conservation question. Protect the overabundant snow geese, or protect the tundra habitat the geese now degrade? For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. Thank you.
Future with Shape of Things to Come, released on the Uni label. Before that, Gaber Szabo and a 45 called Bacchanal. And we started off with the Rhythm Cowboys and The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly Revisited. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly on Forgotten 45s. Digging deep into the crates here at DJ Frederick's Archive. And before we cruise on out of here, I want to say hello to everyone listening on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London and online at classicalwscs.org. I'm here every Saturday evening from 10 p.m. until midnight. I've got one more 45 to share with you on this edition of the Thrift Shop. It's by General Lee, who's into some killer spaced-out cosmic funk. Tune called Magic, released on the Lost Weekend label from 1980. This is part one and the B-side, part two. Peace out. Until next time, this is DJ Frederick wishing you many blessings and much magic in your life.
Everyone listen. precious material. What I feel. Magic. Magic. Magic.
Yeah.